Hello, weirdos, and welcome to a very special Weird and Whatever. Hey, Adam, how's everybody doing?
Hey!
So back in the day, if you watch sitcoms, you know, from the 80s or the 90s, and it was, you know, they're going to touch upon serious topics that always started off like a cold opening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to It's a Wonderful World. Yeah, and then they
would... It's like some dramatic music in the background.
No, nothing dramatic today, y'all. How's everybody doing? It's been a while since we've been together, weirdos. I hope everyone's being safe and healthy. I would like to jump right into it. We only have so much time. Vicky, a lot of ghost stuff. A lot of people who have never, ever experienced a ghost before. But now, since the quarantine, since the COVID hit, they are experiencing ghost-like activities. How can you make heads or tails of something like this?
I mean, it could be a combination of the fact that they're home more often, so they're noticing more things. Or, I mean, let's face it, the energy right now is crazy. I mean, the world, you have so much turmoil. You have a lot of negative energy flowing around, and spirits are going to use that in order to manifest and interact. And I have to agree, I'm getting tons and tons of requests for investigations.
So in your opinion, when it comes to earthly turmoil, if the world collectively is showing, you know, just they're going down a bit with their emotions, you can see a difference with ghost activity. This is something that can happen.
Yes, absolutely. Especially with your negative energies, they are going to feed it. An energy gets more fuel, for lack of a better term, off of anything like fear and anger and rage, and all those kinds of feelings are more powerful and more useful to them, especially a negative entity. They are going to feed on it just like, you know, some hungry outside cats that you just threw a dish of food at. I mean, they're just going to eat it up, and they're going to attach to the situation. They're going to take advantage of the situation, and they're just going to start showing up more.
Then why is it that ghosts don't do that with positive energy? Why does it always have to be negative?
When you're talking about earthbound spirits and you're talking about things that fall into the category of being non-human, there's just not as much energy attached to positive as there is negative. Plus, like attracts. If you're earthbound, there's a chance that you were negative in life. You're also negative in death. You're trapped here. You're going to gravitate towards what you were. Now, that doesn't mean that your positive spirits, like the ones that come in visitation, like relatives, it doesn't mean that they stop their visitation. But it's usually the more negative and the more divisive, I'm going to say, spirits that are going to show up during times like this.
Because I know
it's what's going to thrive.
People are probably thinking, well, what if I try to manifest a positive guru type, like a Tony Robbins, a motivational speaker kind of a ghost, if they really want to manifest that? I mean, what if a ghost wants to be positive and try to be your almost kind of like your hype man?
Oh, or absolutely. Woman? What you put out into the universe is going to come back to you. But what I'm saying is that times like this, unfortunately, there's more negative being thrown out than there is positive. So that's the kind of spirits that you're going to get. But absolutely, the universe is run on the fact what you give, you get. So if you have a lot of positive energy, you have a lot of love and happiness, you're going to attract those type of spirits. But more than likely, those are the ones that are going to come around quietly and in a comforting way, rather than, you know, throwing a hammer across the room.
Mr. Beckett, you look like you are in witness protection right now. I want to get your opinion on it. Your lighting, by the way, is terrible. There was a story or an article that had dropped. Don't worry about it. There's an article that dropped that right now people are claiming this is the worst time ever. They are sadder than normal. They're more upset than normal. Let me ask you this. Is a lot of this media based, all of the unhappiness, or are people legit unhappy? If so, why? Explain.
I believe that things have gotten, I think we've on previous podcasts agreed that this is the best time ever. I mean, before all the stuff has happened, before a global pandemic, you know, a lot of the protests and the stuff with the police and all that, we all agree that in terms of healthcare, access to information and education, global poverty, hunger, all that stuff is the best it's ever been. Those are statistics, those are facts. And I think that when you start to reach less and less bad and more equality, you are able to be more critical of other things. And I think that our us as humanity, we're continuing to strive to get better. And like the stock market, I think it's up and down, but I think the overall trajectory is up. Maybe that's a really optimistic way to look at it, but that's the way I feel about it. So I think still the best time to ever to live. And I think that oppression, whether it's animals, you know, other races, I think that hopefully the trajectory is going to continue to get go in a better way. And I'm optimistic that it is.
Producer Birdie, you make a face when Beckett rattled off some of his stats. What are you trying to dispute with Mr. Beckett?
Well, he was saying that, sorry about that. He was saying that healthcare was the best it's ever been, which I, yeah, sorry.
Healthcare, tell us about healthcare!
Yeah, Finn, that's my dog this time. He wants to compete with Chewy.
Birdney, your volume is extraordinarily loud.
Really? Is that better? Yes. Can I move my mic away?
Can you imagine if I had her mic and I laughed in her mic?
It would have been way too loud.
You would blow out 10 eardrums. By the way, that was quick math.
I love it.
But yeah, I mean, healthcare hasn't been the best it has been in the world, at least in this country, I would say, when you were giving off that set. I mean, we have the highest child, death rate in the first world country. So that's what I was saying.
Not trying to mansplain what Beckett's mansplaining was, but I think what you're trying to say, correct me if I'm wrong, Beckett, in the overall, since olden times to now, the progression of right now, we are living in the best time ever when it comes to any of that stuff. If you look back.
100%. People used to die. It used to be a normal thing for a mom to die during childbirth, right? Like kids used to be born paralyzed and have polio. We didn't have vaccines. Sure, like I said, like the stock market curved, we have ups and downs. You know, we had a pandemic back in 1917, 18. We had another pandemic now. And you could say, oh, well, that's a step backwards. But I think overall, like we're going more and more forward for the most part.
Does anyone know why there's so much clicking or it's cutting out so bad? God, Zoom. Next week, hopefully, we're going to be back to normal. We are reconstructing the studio. I'm getting ready to move. Denny's getting ready to move. And we're just trying to, it's like the Death Star. You're all for all my Star Wars nerds. We're kind of like half capacity. Return of the Jedi Death Star, the second Death Star. It's kind of where we're at right now. So I apologize with the glitching and the cutting off. Hopefully soon we will be back to normal.
I keep getting a message that I have unstable internet connection right now. So maybe I'm the cause.
Maybe it's because it sounds good on my
Ghost.
End.
Ghost.
Yeah, when Beckett was talking, it was almost unbearable.
I usually hear it.
It sounded good.
Not the content, just the clipping. the content was good.
That's great.
So one thing I wanted to start with you guys and everybody listening, I thought that would be a lot of fun. I want to start a scary movie club. Now, it's very dorky, it's very nerdy, but hear me out. Only way this is going to work is if everybody does it with me. I want to start going back and looking at old classic horror movies that I've never seen before, or if I have seen them before, it was a long, long time ago. Me and Denny's and his wife, Jen, we ended up watching, Denny's.
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. I'd never seen it before. Wow. And we finally seen it. And we didn't even watch the right version of it. And I still loved it. So what I'd like to do now, by the way, there's three different versions of The Exorcist out there. There's the director cut, there's the movie theater cut, and then there's some other weird cut. We watched the wrong cut and it was still fantastic. So let's discuss, what's a horror movie we can watch. We all have to watch it this week. The audience, I'm suggesting you guys watch it with us too, so you're not lost when we're talking about it. Any suggestions of a classic horror movie? I ask Vicky your suggestion.
I have a very obscure one that, well, at least I think it's obscure. I believe it was made in 1974, and it is called The Legend of Hell House. So
sounds awful. I love it.
It's actually about a man that is, he's paid money to go into this old mansion because they need to clear it out of paranormal activity. And he comes with this big machine. So from my standpoint, there's some very interesting things. And considering this was 1974, it, you know, that was interesting, but it's a very good storyline, I think, for a 1974 horror movie.
Here's the deal. Vicky's vouching for the movie. If this movie sucks, she's got to give out her number on the air live next week.
Oh, man.
Got to get all hit up.
I didn't hear that because my internet connection went out. Perfect.
Don't tell her.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I heard something about a phone number, but.
We'll vote as a group. And if the majority likes it, you're off the hook. If the majority thinks it sucks, punishment time. All right. That's the movie we are going to watch. The audience is going to watch it too. What's the name of it again?
It's Legend of Hell House. And I believe it was done in 1974.
Okay. All right. Is this based on a real story?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
And Beckett, we're not going to take any of your pretty boy shit. If you don't watch it, your number goes out on the air.
Or are we going to watch it together or we have to watch it individually?
I do own it on DVD if somebody wants to borrow it.
Okay, I just have to borrow some DVD player.
It'll play on a Blu-ray too.
Okay, very, very fancy. All right. Okay, gang, everyone listening, that's the excitement. Vicky's, not shitty movie, but Vicky's pick of movies.
Hey, you didn't tell me I had to prepare, so you're lucky I had them right off the top of my head.
I like y'all unprepared. You get the raw part of you. I like it. I love it. Okay, that's our assignment. We are now entered a scary movie club, and with all that positivity, I think it's time to just keep that ball rolling for some
Denny's Random Facts.
Yeah, we've almost.
It's getting better. It gets better each time.
Improving.
All right. So if you are watching at home, that means you know the rules of Denny's Random Facts. But if you have never heard this segment before, Vicky, our educator, she grades Denny's harshly on his factoids. If they are great, she gives him an A. If they suck, she gives him an F. Denny's, the floor is yours.
So I always like other countries that have words that we don't have, and then we kind of have to adopt them, or, you know, we don't adopt them, and they have a way of describing something, kind of like the French word déjà vu for something you've already seen. We don't necessarily have the words, so we adopted it. There's a new term I came across, and I want to see if you guys think it's kind of cool. It's humores. It's an Italian term used to describe old men who watch over construction sites or watch people do things with their hands behind their back, offering unwanted advice, and often are found annoying.
So isn't that like a second seat? What's it? Passenger seat driver or something like that?
Like a backseat driver?
Yeah, that's the equivalent.
Or just plain stalker and creeper.
Yeah. Well, they have their own term for somebody who looms annoyingly and gives advice when it's unnecessary.
Do me a favor. Use it in a sentence with my name.
We're working on this construction site and this Umarella Jaybird comes over and keeps telling us what to do.
Umarella.
I have to use that on tomorrow's show. I'm calling Virginia that.
How do you spell that? I'm definitely going to use that.
U-M-A-R-E-L-L. Umarell.
That's what I got. This Umarella on my ass over here. I can't take it.
I guess the female equivalent would be Zadara.
Zadara?
Okay, so Virginia's a Zadara.
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 That's right, a common thing, though, in Italy.
It is pretty common.
Like, you just have, like, in New York, especially when I was living there, you just have old, like, these old group of men that get together and they have coffee and they just walk around and just
criticize.
That's what they do. It's the weird, like, it's actually a thing.
Yeah, it's called the Pennington family.
Well, there's a German word called Kummerspeck, which means grief bacon. I think I've brought it up before, but it's a German word for what happens when you're sad. You eat bacon to feel better. They have their own term for that. We don't have that here in America. It's grief bacon. You eat something intentionally bad to help grieve.
This explains, well, today, Jen.
Comfort food.
Well, today on the KBJ show, today on the KBJ show, we talked about how people take sad baths.
Yes.
When they are feeling depressed, and a bath, Beckett, mm-hmm. people who take a bath regularly are less depressed, have less anxiety, and people who have one solid good cry a week are less depressed and less full with anxiety. Denny's, I did not mean to overfactoid you.
Well, no, actually, to piggyback off of that, one of my other random facts is they did a study in 2017, UC Berkeley. The pressure to feel upbeat can actually make you feel downbeat. While embracing your darker moods, you can actually make yourself feel better in the long run. Is that weird? It's kind of counter what you would think. The fact that if you embrace your darker thoughts and your darker emotions, you could potentially be happier than faking happiness. What do you guys think?
Actually, that kind of makes sense when, like, you have somebody who suffers from anxiety or depression. One of the first things they tell you you can't do is to say to them, oh, you'll be fine. Everything's okay. You let them talk about how they feel. You yes. validate the fact that they feel it. So using that logic, that makes perfect sense to me, that if you take a few minutes to validate those darker feelings and, you know, just acknowledge that they're there instead of just pretending that they're not, that makes perfect sense to me.
There so, is nothing. Oh, go ahead, Denny.
Well, so the results suggested that people who commonly resist, as you just stated, acknowledging their darker emotions or judging them harshly can end up feeling physically stressed. By contrast, people who generally accept bleak feelings as sadness, disappointment, resentment, all of the such, and let it run its course naturally or faster, they suffered less mood disorder symptoms than people who critique them and push them away. And the effects can last even up to 6 months. So it turns out that how we approach our own negative emotional reactions is really important for our overall well-being, something to take into consideration in this day and age when everybody's so blown up at each other.
Well, you can make a case that a version of that happened to Dave Chappelle. He had one of the most popular comedy shows ever in existence. And there was so much pressure to always be funny and happy. And he was just kind of like, you know what? I'm out, you know?
And by the way, I find great comedy. I think there's a lot of comedy in pain and in dark times. That's how I get through shit. If I'm depressed or have anxiety or sad about something, I am trying to find, you know, a little bit of humor in there just to get through there. To piggyback on what you're saying, Denny's and Vicky, I don't know if anyone's here ever had a full-blown anxiety or a panic attack. And I've had it to where someone's been supportive in that moment. And I've had it to where someone said it to, they go, oh, just, you'll be fine. Get over it. And the person that wants you to get over it and it's not supportive, without a doubt, makes shit way worser. Mm-hmm. It can really kind of jab at the problem. You kind of want someone to help you through that sometimes. I know it just on me, it can make it worse.
Yep. Very cool. And
just to catch up on the grades, the first one, with the Italian word, I was initially going to give you a B, but then you used it in a sentence. So I had to up that to an A. And then I think this next one was so relatable to a lot of people, I had to give this one an A as well.
Oh, wow.
Look, I'm a little soft. I'm coming back from a 2-week hiatus.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, don't get too cocky there.
You're exactly right. It can fall so quick.
I know how you get when this goes well. You're
Then I'll do a really random one that nobody cares about. So my next fact here that no one will, I'm just playing. So have you guys heard of this? It's the windshield phenomenon. It's a term given to the anecdotal or scientific observation that recently there are fewer dead insects accumulating on windshields in people's car over the last 25 years. And they're attributing it to, and they actually did the science and the whole thing. Humans have declined so massively to insect populations decreasing. They found that insect populations are actually down about 80% since 1997.
I don't think that's good, right?
No, it's horrible. It's actually terrible. When you think about when you're a kid and you go on a road trip, you used to have to, first thing you do when you got to your place, parents made us go out and scrape all the bugs off the car so they wouldn't harden overnight and then ruin the paint. So now I never have to do that ever.
No.
Except for if you drive through the sugar cane fields.
I was going to say, because every time I go to Port St. Lucie, I have to scrape stuff off my car. So yeah. I want to check the validity of your facts there.
All right. Kind of a crappy fact then, Vicky.
I mean, I didn't find it personally, endearing, but other people might.
They're definitely down, though, because there was an old book about Florida when they first started colonizing here that cattle used to die because so many mosquitoes from breathing them in would clog their nostrils and they would suffocate. They used to just go out and behead the cattle and then bring it in and use it for slaughter. But they used to have them drop by like the hundreds because it was so dense with mosquitoes. But over the years, we've been spraying all these poisons. We've been having all these chemicals. Now they just spray once, every couple months. Back, it used to be unable to go watch the 4th of July fireworks because the mosquitoes were so thick. You'd watch them, and then you go sit in your car and watch the end of them because you couldn't take the mosquito bites anymore.
I wonder if that is why the bee population is dying off, because bees are on the decline too. And once the bees die, we're screwed, man. We need them to pollinate shit. And I mean, just with your, if the insects are kind of going down already and you're talking about all these sprays and stuff, is a bee not an insect of some sort?
Oh yeah,
Beckett.
What'd you say? You cut out for a second.
He's throwing it to you.
I said bees are also an insect. You're awfully quiet over there, Beckett.
Well, bees and ants, if those get eradicated, the whole system collapses. And if humans get eradicated, or we were to leave, everything benefits. And that's what people need to remind themselves. Humanity needs to be, not to sound like a hippie, in terms of us being a little bit more humble and respectful of our environment and fellow creatures, because they serve a vital role and we don't.
You don't sound like a hippie, ayahuasca.
Yeah, the problem is we're just losing a lot of bugs. When I was a kid, I was like, I hope there's no more bugs. I hope when I get older, they get rid of them all. Now I'm like, darn, I shouldn't have said that.
Whoops.
Do you guys struggle with this ever? Killing insects, if you see an insect in your house? I struggle with that. The older I've gotten, when I was a little kid, or even when I was younger, a teenager or in my early 20s, I'd see a worm or something. Get the hell out of here. I try to kill it or get it out of it. Now I would feel guilty doing that.
Yeah.
I'll let you answer, Becky, because I know you really are in the chart. But do you think that is my maturity, just me evolving as I go on? Is that me learning as I go on? Did something in me change? What do you think, Beckett?
I think that, when you grow up with animals, like a dog or a cat or a bird, you get a relationship with that living being, right? And then you have a little bit more of an understanding and empathy to something else that's living. I think that's one of many reasons why people can evolve and change their paradigm on things. And knowledge is power, right? Like if you see a documentary or you have a vegetarian buddy who, read something or whatever and shares that with you and you have an open mind, then sometimes your opinions can be changed as well. The way that I put it, I'm a plant-based guy, I'm an animal lover, but I always tell people, if a bear's charging me, I'm shooting the hell out of that bear. What I have a problem with is when we unnecessarily and inhumanely do things. So the other example I'll give, if there's a mosquito in my house, I'm probably more keen to kill it, A, because of me, B, because of my dog. My dog might get heartworm from said mosquito. But if it's a worm or a fly that's just annoying and it's not going to give my dog heartworm like a mosquito would, then I'm doing my best to just chew it out of the house if I can. I feel like that's fair.
Yeah, no, that's how I approach it too. And people will call me a hippie as well. But I think what you're saying, I mean, when I was 30 or 31, I ended up reading some stuff by Wayne Dyer. He's a former, he passed away. He was a motivational speaker and a spiritual guru kind of a guy. And he had kids that lived down here in South Florida. Yep. And sometimes they listen to the KVJ show. And I ended up getting to interview him. Wow. And one of those kind of people that just really changes your life. And when I started reading that, and there's a book called The Tao Te Ching, And it's been redone so many times, but Wayne Dyer did his own version of it, own interpretation of it. When I got into that a little bit, it did change my perspective on some things. So to your point, Beckett, yeah, you can read or you can watch something that changes your perspective on anything, really.
Can the weirdos and myself watch that interview? Yes. Is that available?
I will post it up. I posted it up not too long ago. It's on our YouTube channel, but we'll put it on our respective social medias as well.
Okay, awesome. I'll check that out.
You guys didn't get. I feel like I had that like maturity. Did you ever see Karate Kid 3 with I think it was Hilary Swank?
Okay, time out. First of all, that was not Karate Kid 3. That was the next Karate Kid, which we don't.
Sorry. We don't talk about that one. But remember, there was the whole thing with the spider and she kills it. And then there's the whole speech about like how you don't do that. That's kind of what taught me not to kill. Like I try to save the bugs and everything unless they're attacking me or something. But
I would have loved that if that was from Karate Kid 3. But because you talk about the Hilary Swank version, I don't know what to say, Verdi.
Hey, as a girl, it was cool singing a girl one. Hey, all right. It wasn't as good. I understand, but
I hear you. She, Hilary Swank is no Mike Barnes. Am I right, Denny's?
No. Yeah.
It's Karate Kid 3 reference.
Yeah, nobody's gonna get that.
I'm just messing with you, Birdie. Someone will send me an email. Dude, quit yelling at Birdie, you damn man.
Stop yelling at me. Jeez.
I have been watching the show called Alone. I've been talking about it on the KVJ show. It's where people are sent out in the middle of the wilderness. They have to fend for themselves and they have to hit a button to be out of the competition. It's really, really, really a cool show. But the one woman on the show talks about having a relationship with nature. And when she talks about having a relationship with nature, it's different than you just going outside and feeling the grass. She really has some kind of, I don't know, like I was hoping you could kind of explain what she means by that, Beckett. When someone's got a relationship with nature, she really, really was, you know, when she would eat the animals, she would communicate. When she would pick the berries, she would communicate. Now, is that too hippity dippity? Beckett.
Yeah, he muted him so he coughed.
It's a little bit like, you know, I the Native American approach to how they use every piece of an animal. To me, I feel like that's how it should go. You know, other than ayahuasca, like I was raised Christian and spiritual, but I've always wanted to be more spiritual and I've had the desire, but I just haven't been able to get, I'm a, kind of more of a logical black and white kind of wiring in my brain, so it's hard for me to understand that kind of mindset. But then again, I know people that really feel that way. I think I have a relatively good relationship with nature. Anytime I want to feel more grounded, you know, you go to the park or the nature trail and it makes me feel oftentimes a lot better. But if she's saying like a relationship with nature, like I would describe a relationship with a family member or a girl I'm dating or something like that, that's a little bit more of a bridge too far for me to get my arms around.
Becky, do you have a relationship with nature? And you being a psychic medium, don't you feel like you kind of have to be in tune with nature for it all to work?
Yeah, you have to be in tune with nature. You have to have the right energy. You have to be respectful, especially because I sometimes will deal with nature spirits themselves. So if I were disrespectful to nature or I had horrible energy, instead of these nature spirits communicating with me and helping with me, they would do the exact opposite. When I sit on my back deck, when my dog is out playing, I mean, I can't tell you, it's like Snow White. I mean, here comes cardinals, here comes blue jays. I had the other day, I had lizards sitting with me, you know, dragonflies landing on my foot. I got butterflies everywhere. And I think it's just because they know that I mean them no harm and that I want to do good.
And plus, you kind of love the movie Dr. Dolittle.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Denny's, we're going to get back to your factoids because I think you're crushing it, kid. Something was sparked, and not your doobie, as far as the conversation here goes. What, do you have a relationship with nature?
Yeah, I do.
How do you communicate, or how do you get your spiritual side?
So I think, I guess you could crudely break people down into two categories. Some people feel that, you know, we're built for the world, and some people feel the world was built for them. So that being said, if you think the world's built for you, you're going to treat it a lot different than somebody who thinks that they are borrowing from the world. You know, so I try to pay at least acknowledgement that we are here on borrowed time. Try not to mess it up too much, because it's hard to think past, you know, the immediacy of everything in your own lifetime, or even your kid's lifetime span. It's hard to conceptualize past that. But people have been living on this planet for so long. We read about it in history books way, way back, and it's going to continue for a long time, I imagine, unless something crazy happens. But in all that time, we constantly have this struggle with nature. It's never changed. I mean, you can go back to Shakespearean literature. You know, they have the story of person versus person, person versus self, person versus nature. It's always been some sort of factor. Some people have, you know, pissed all over it, and some people have really tried to cultivate something from it. So it really just depends on what type of person you are. And I don't know.
Good luck necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, good luck pissing on Mother Nature. She ain't gonna piss on your back. She'll take a dump on you.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, some people, they think it's and who's to say they're right or wrong? I mean, it's your own perspective. You do what you will with your time here. But I try to preserve it, or try to keep it, at least acknowledge the fact that I am using up resources that future generations could potentially lose. Think if we continue to use fossil fuels, future generations will never even know what that is. We used to use coal to power shit or stuff. And now we don't, you know, I mean, we sure, you know, we still definitely use coal, but that used to be a main energy source. And now it's been a reduced energy source only because of the amount of damage it does to the environment, you know? So
I love what you're talking about, how, look, we're all just borrowing shit. We're only here temporarily. It's not yours. You're this is borrowed time, and the stuff that you're using here on Earth, you're borrowing it. I've never heard it said that way, and I love it.
Well, that's how I think of it. Everybody to each their own. And I think some people just use the stuff, and it's just their lifetime. And not that they're wrong, but maybe their perspective is, you know, they just use the stuff it's provided, and then they continue on. Don't think about the future, the past, any of the such. I mean,
I think on the count of three, everyone go, great job, Denny's. One, two, three.
Great job, Denny's.
Get out of here.
Give us another factoid.
Well, actually, talking about transitioning over, I mean, we go through as we evolve, as you guys have talked about, even in this podcast, as we learn and we get better at things, and as we try to accept everyone, we try to make these adjustments and make life better for everyone. Well, in the 1800s, as they were transitioning over from horse-drawn carriages in towns to automobiles, they had a hard time keeping the horses calm around the automobiles. So the initial set of automobiles used to be a horse front, so as not to confuse the horses. So they used to drive around these automobiles that looked like horses in the front. And I'm going to share a picture. I'm going to download a picture here and share it with everybody. But yeah, this is what everybody used to drive around on. This is a horrible.
That's the first picture. Steampunk.
Yeah, steampunk thing going on. Let's see here. Anybody see this bad boy?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
That was the initial car, because people were being terrified. The horses were being terrified by the cars initially. So this is like a transitional.
Sweet resolution on that picture.
It's an old picture. It was a long time ago.
An old concept, old picture. But yeah, no, it's just weird. Weird. And I'll throw one last one at you.
Hold on, young man. Slow down. Let the teacher grade you.
I hate to keep up the trend, because you know I sometimes like to throw a loop, but considering a person who drives a Mustang that still has a horse in the front, I got to give you an A.
Straight A's.
Look at that.
Great job, Denny's. Home run, Josh.
All right. Last one here. I'll let you guys live your lives. In the 1950s, talk about another thing that changed. Atomic tests were so common in Nevada back then, when they were, you know, working on the atomic bombs and such. Las Vegas decided to capitalize on this, and maybe you guys know this, I didn't, but they used to do atomic test tourist draws They were advertised detonation times, and you could sit and eat dinner while watching a nuclear bomb go off in the desert. And in fact, they tied it into casinos. Casinos that were north facing would offer drink specials, atomic cocktails, bomb parties. Unfortunately, it was retired in 1963 after the October of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when they actually thought bombs might be bombing them. So they decided to stop it.
Wow.
That's weird, right? That had to be an awful, that had to be an awful idea, right? Anyone that witnessed those bombs going off probably does not feel that great. Also, weirdly, in the same article, I didn't realize lottery was against the law in Nevada. They have no lottery. They didn't want it to compete with their gambling.
Well, I get it. Think about it. They are the lottery. Every single day, anybody can be a millionaire there, potentially. Yeah.
They attribute it to possibly when the mafia was involved in the gambling, that they kind of influenced the, concept of keeping it no lottery there, I guess, to help them. So weird, right?
And I don't know either if you had the best day in Vegas and you were betting and kind of win all this shit, could you eventually win $1 million in a day? Could that happen?
If you were go by odds, yeah.
If you were good at gambling and you could take the house, because I've already heard, I always hear it, the house always wins.
So if you're playing a game where you can influence your odds, then yeah, you have a better chance. If you're playing a game like roulette, then you don't necessarily influence the odds. Then it's purely up to odds.
I think they did that in that movie with Kevin Spacey, 21, where it was based on the professor and his students from MIT, and they knew how to count cards. They were that smart and quick, and they actually took the casinos for a ton of money.
That's illegal. You can't do that. They'll break your arm.
Yeah.
Can any average Joe go to Vegas on a Friday night and come back a millionaire Sunday night? Does that ever happen?
I think if you've ever seen in some casinos, they'll have like a certain circle of like slot machines. The odds are really, really, really small, but they'll have like a Rolls Royce up there, or they'll have, you know, a $500,000. I don't know if they have up to $1 million, but they'll have those where, you know, you play and play and play, and like every once in a while someone wins big money.
You ever seen that game at the mall? It's called Keymaster. You have to move the key and then you press the button and it goes forward, and if it fits in the lock, you get like an iPod or an iPhone or something insane, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I read into that thing, and the way it works is it's an algorithm that it only gives a probability of 1 in 10,000. So even if you actually line it up perfectly, it'll move it just enough to make it so it won't go in because it doesn't fit into the odd scheme. Weird, right? That thing is calculated for winners. You would have to play it X amount of times, and eventually you would hit a point where it would allow you to win. I thought that was messed up.
Cheating. Rigged.
Well, Dennis, I think you did a fine job. We appreciate your services. Thank you. Vicky, how are you feeling today about maybe doing, because it was such a popular segment last time, maybe just doing a quick little round table of psychic feelings? For example, when you look at Beckett over there, this pretty haircut and showing off his thigh, do you sense anything going on with Beckett that you didn't sense a couple weeks ago? Guide him.
You know, he's trying to be all nonchalant. He's trying to mess with his hair.
He's trying to be coy. He's trying to get that little shy, sexy thing going. It's working.
I got a little bit more sun. I shaved a little bit. I feel like I'm coming out of quarantine. I'm getting back in shape. We're going to have to do rebuilding Bird and Beckett when we come out.
Let the psychic medium work, my friend. Don't give her the information.
I think there is something that's been on your mind lately. Get the sock out of the way. I think there is something that's kind of like, you know how like when you get something, I use the analogy of like when you get a piece of popcorn stuck in your teeth kind of thing, where it's there and it kind of bugs you, but it's kind of hard to get to it and take care of it. So I do think you got some underlining issue that you need to take care of.
Is the popcorn kernel, is the popcorn kernel female?
We knew.
It's usually and by the way, what you're thinking about, go with your gut, because I think you're right.
Okay.
All right, Colonel, get to it.
Get out that dental floss.
All right, now you look over at producer Birdie with her awesome Yoda shirt, baby Yoda shirt on, and her Britney Spears headphones, which I love. What do you sense about Birdie?
Oh, let's see. I think that you're wondering about the start of school this coming year. Is that right, Brittany?
How would you know?
I'm psychic.
Yeah. Ooh.
No, I mean, that's... I first of all, I do want to congratulate Brittany because I know that, you know, we've talked about it and she and I have talked too. I know that she has a lot of anxieties and things, and I think you've been doing a pretty darn good job so far.
Thank
everybody,
you.
Everybody, on the count of three, say, kudos. On the count of three, everyone say, sweet job, Brittany. One, two, three.
Sweet job, Brittany.
Thanks.
We didn't do too bad.
How are you doing, Brittany? How's your mental state? How's your personal state?
Mentally, I've been doing a lot better, I would say. I was sick for a little bit. It was not COVID. I did get tested just because my doctor wanted to just double check because I was having weird symptoms. But, you know, other than that, I'm just trying to be there's so much negativity that I'm just forcing myself to kind of find positivity, whatever it is, whether it's listening to good music or playing music, talking to old friends. So that's been helping me a lot. And I think, you know, with anything, when you're used to the anxiety, you learn how to cope with it. So I'm learning how to cope with COVID and cope with what's going on better now.
Me and you are the anxiety twins. I'll wear a Yoda shirt too.
Good.
We can wear our Yoda shirts. Just have anxiety together.
I love it. We'll eat Sounds pizza awesome. And have anxiety, and we can
well,
play
you
music.
Know what? We'll start our that new trend that everybody wants to get to be a part of: anxiety parties.
I love it.
Sure. Okay.
I'm down.
Denny's over there, looking all like he's hot shit.
Your house search, because I know that we talked about it in the beginning, I guess before we went on the air.
Oh, yes.
I'm getting 6 to 7 as a time period. So I don't know when I see it, numbers. I don't know if it's honestly, I don't know if it's days, weeks, years, months, whatever. I would look at it either. I'm leaning more towards 6 or 7 weeks. Or at the max 6 or 7 months, so you find the right thing and everything's settled.
Oh, look at that.
But I get 6 to 7.
If it's 6 or 7 months, you're gonna get 6 or 7 of these, I tell you.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here, it's gonna be more like 6 to 7 weeks or days.
All right. And me, Vicky, what do you sense?
Anybody that has a reading with me knows that I take my time and I actually, instead of throwing stuff off the cuff, I wait for something to come to me.
I hear you. And no pressure. We big theme of today's podcast is pressure. We're not trying to add anymore. But
whether you've noticed it, you need to pay a little more attention to the spare bedroom upstairs because there's something up there for sure. I feel like you would actually hear it more than anything else. So start paying attention. Like, don't dismiss those sounds. I think that some of them are coming from that other bedroom. I'm seeing like the closet doors, not hard, but I see them, you know, when you have doors on a track and if you push it too hard, it kind of bounces back a little. I feel like there may be like some movement like that with the closet doors. And well, not in your bedroom, the other bedroom.
To piggyback off what you're saying, I have been hearing thump, thump, like we've talked about, the knocking. I have actually been using that room more because that's where my treadmill's at, and I have been rebuilding Bird. I've been exercising and eating better. I've been making some changes on that level. But with that said, I have a unusual, have no idea what happened. I've never been near the mirror. I'm never near the mirror. There's a crack in my mirror out of the blue. Right at the bottom. I'm going to have to get that replaced. If not, I'm going to have to pay that to the landlord here. There's a crack in my mirror. You know, the kind where you had your closets? Have no idea where it came from. I'm never even up there. So I have been hearing the knocking in that room, like you suggested. And I've got cracked mirrors. What the shit? Cracked mirrors, last time I looked? Don't mean good luck.
Well, only if you cracked it on Friday the 13th. You're good if it's any other time.
Okay, so if it's a demon living in your closet that cracked it.
If it's a demon, send them the bill when you have to replace those. I think something has. I think those doors have been moving on their own more than you know. So
yeah, the other thing too, I was going to talk to you about, I think this is what's going on. I think whatever entity is in my place here, I think they're manipulating audio to freak me out, to wake me up. Because you talk about a lot how these spirits like to mess with people while they're sleeping. And that's when I get a lot of my activities, when I'm trying to go to bed or I'm drowsy and I'm tired. And Chewy will be stone cold out sleeping, and there'll be barking coming from upstairs. And he's not upstairs, he's downstairs. I'm with him, but there'll be barking of Chewy from upstairs. And I think the spirit is doing that stuff to screw with me. Have you ever heard of that? Sound manipulation?
Yeah, well, that actually is a form of mimicking, is what it's doing. Most of the time it's human voices that they will mimic, but they can do that with animals. Now I have to ask a question. Since you've been there, because I know because of Chewy's health, a lot of times he doesn't go upstairs. From the time that you first moved in, how much time did he actually spend upstairs?
Chewy's only been upstairs twice. It's been probably less than a 2-hour time period that I've been here.
Okay.
And I will say that it's almost like, because I've moved down into the living room to be with Chewy. I'm really not upstairs anymore. Only time I'm upstairs these days is to go upstairs to run or to grab something out of my closet. But ever since I moved downstairs, the ghost party has come downstairs. Ever since I put the bed down here, that's when I started seeing the entity walk down my stairs. That's when a lot of more other stuff, that's when the crack happened, all that kind of, the crack in the mirror, not the crack, not the usage of crack. But yeah, so I think I wasn't giving them what they wanted upstairs anymore. Right. So they brought the party downstairs, which I think would happen.
Yeah, they need your energy. So if you remove the energy source, they're going to follow it as best they can. So that only makes sense.
Chewy's been doing great too. A lot of people have been asking how Chewy's health has been doing. Now, obviously Chewy's old. His blindness isn't going to get better, but his spirit is great. He's eating, he's walking, he's friendly, he's playful, doing real good ever since he had his last episode. So we hope another episode doesn't come, but I do appreciate the warm wishes from everybody. Birdney, how are we doing on time?
We are at
47 minutes. The one thing I do want to talk about, if the audience during any of the podcast ever has a question or wants an update on something, go ahead, put that in the chat room section. Birdney is going to go ahead and see if anything is worthy of on the air. So basically, if you write it, Birdney doesn't suggest it, doesn't mean Birdney liked it. So it means she didn't like it.
Means
like
I
it at
hated
all.
It.
No, we're just kidding. But yeah, if you have any questions, ask. Birdney, has anybody asked anything of significance that would deem worthy of being talked about here?
I haven't seen anyone ask questions. It's mostly just been comments. But if anyone would like to ask a question now, they are more than welcome to ask.
That's
it.
Cool. I'll continue on as we do in these trying times.
Somebody asked a question. They said, if Bird moves, would the entity move along with Bird? Or
oh, there you go.
It has. I mean,
is it the same entity?
Vicky, how long have I known you for? We've been doing stuff for about 13 years now.
13 years since 2007. Yes.
Every place I've lived at, there's been a ghost. Every place.
Right, and not always the same one. So this thing, though, is pretty attached. It wouldn't surprise me if it went with you. But that, you know, that's left to be seen. I'm sure that wherever you go, they'll come out of hiding to attach themselves to you in your new location.
I just kind of got that aura about me, don't I?
You got a stage 5 clinger.
But, you know, it depends. This one's pretty attached, so it wouldn't surprise me if it followed you.
Now, to go back to the conversation of people reporting ghost activity during the quarantining, Would you say that people are manifesting in their own ghosts, kind of like you say that I've done in the past? They're manifesting their own negative energies.
It depends on the person. That would be a case-by-case thing. You know, it just depends on what turmoil they're going through. Sometimes it may be more certainly unintentional that they're just going through something that strikes a chord with whatever this entity is, and that's when they decide to interact. Because it's similar.
I know I'm not the expert here, but the thing that walks down the stairs, I don't feel like that's something that was manifested by me. I get the feeling this is a different kind of a cat we're dealing with. Something different. Different than even since when you were here, Vicky. I think your services are needed again.
Okay.
But if somebody like me and Denny's, we're getting a new house. Now we're not going to live in the same place, but we're getting new places. Do you recommend a little ritual when we move into these places?
Well, you have to be very careful when you're talking about a ritual or a cleansing. You can't just do one that's general if you have something already there. So you need to be very careful. In fact, I just spoke to someone last week and they realized, oh, great. Every single thing I was doing was exactly the opposite of what I should have been doing. So it's just, it's a matter. I would suggest that you have me do a walkthrough before you sign the actual papers. Just let me do a walkthrough so at least we can establish what's already there. And then that would be an excellent way for us to see whether whatever you have now is following you, because I would already have the baseline as to what is already on the property and then see what you bring in.
Can we do that in front of the realtor? I'll say, yeah, I just brought my psychic medium. She wants to just make sure that there's no demons or ghosts, but really ham it up in front of the realtor to freak them out.
Well, actually, realtors have come to me with pictures of property in order for me. It's like if they've had this property for a while, they'll say, hey, how come this thing isn't selling? They'll show me pictures and I'll tell them why it's not selling. Maybe there's, you know, if there's something there, there's an energy that's forcing people to not be interested in it. So I've actually have done that to a certain degree with realtors.
If you find out, I want to ask the whole panel here, if you found out that you bought a house, you just signed the paperwork to ink dry and you love this house. Oh, I forgot to tell you this, by the way, after the deal is signed, there was a family butchered here with an axe back in 1967 by a man named Henry. They never caught Henry. Do you still move into that house, Beckett?
If I like it, yes.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm not.
You ain't no bitch.
Yeah, I'm no bitch boy.
I feel like I was walking through it and I had good vibes. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at walking into some place and either getting negative vibes or good vibes. And I trust my gut with that. So if I went into a place and I felt good vibes, I would rely on that more than that information.
But what happens if you walk through, you get the greatest vibes ever. Like, I love this place. Then you find out they were butchered. What does that say about you?
I mean, maybe they're there to protect me now. Maybe they're good spirits. They were butchered, but they're protecting me.
Nice spin job. I love it. It's good. Denny's, do you do it?
I would have no effect on you.
Yeah, I in fact, I'd probably buy it.
Like, yeah,
you would.
Vicky, let's delve into this. All right, interesting stuff. I love it. Have an email. Want to get you guys' opinion on. Did we read the Harry Potter email? The sex Harry Potter email?
No.
I don't think so. I would have remembered that.
All right. Dear Weird and Whatever. So my girl is obsessed with Harry Potter. She wants me to bang her while she wears Potter outfits. I think this is silly and don't feel comfortable doing it, but I also don't want to come off like a lame boyfriend. Do you think I'm being a prude by not wanting to bang my girlfriend as she's dressed like Harry Potter? Bird, would you like it if a girl did that? Let me know y'all's thoughts.
So,
I'm in.
She's dressing.
Beckett at bang her. Did you see him? As soon as you said bang her, you had Beckett.
She is dressed like Harry Potter. She's
not like Ron or Hagrid.
It's not like a Harry Potter character. She's actually dressed as Harry Potter as from the universe.
She's Potter, baby.
All right.
I honestly, if that's what you're into, Let's take grab
out
the
your wand.
Wand. Yeah, exactly. I'm in.
Do a spell.
I'm into it.
Birdie, are you in?
I'm already in.
Yeah.
Beckett, you in?
I'm in.
We know. Vicky?
As long as it's not every single time.
Yeah.
If it's every single time, no. Every once in a blue moon, fine. Whatever.
It's not every single time, but your partner says things, okay, Vicky, it's time to pork potter.
How much do we love this person?
Yeah, how cute are they?
Are they the love of my life? Then sure.
Okay, love of your life, you're in. If it's somebody starting to date, you're out?
It depends on the chemistry. It really does.
All of a sudden, Jed has got this wicked Potter fetish.
That's fine, yeah. I don't even care if she dressed like an orc.
He's the one that sent in the email. It's his email.
I guess I find it slightly odd that out of the entire universe, he picked Harry Potter, the main protagonist, to dress like.
I know. Not Hagrid.
Anyone.
You can't help what you like sometimes, y'all. Can't help what you like. Yeah,
yeah. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Exactly. Here's another email. I think I have it. Let me see. I just want to make sure. Yes. Dear Weird Whatever. Bird, I heard you talking about how people hate food contests earlier on the KBJ show today. I'm one of those people. All that food could be donated to people who are hungry. The competitive eating industry are a bunch of selfish assholes. We need to stop this kind of entertainment. It's bad for our culture. These ass clowns overeat while other people go hungry. It's pathetic. Okay, rant over, Zachary. Oh, Zachary. Who's mad? Who on the panel here is just so mad and livid over food competitions? Nobody. It looks like nobody's mad.
No, not mad, but you wonder if they are an outdated concept.
Some people really get pissed off at these food competitions. All right, Beckett, do they have a point? Are these food competitions just lawless and terrible for our culture?
No, because if people sometimes, you know, you've heard the saying, someone with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And sometimes people don't have nuanced thoughts because sometimes these food competitions are raising money to feed the homeless, you know, or they're bringing a lot of money and sponsorship for the Boys and Girls Club. I've seen that. So they think like, okay, there's 30 hot dogs that are going to get eaten and now homeless people are going to starve because of these 30 hot dogs. That's just not the case. Not the case. Both things can be true. They can have a competition. They can raise money. They can do a good thing. Just because people are stuffing their faces doesn't mean someone else is going to go hungry.
Birdie, thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many other things that happen too. Like, how much food does a restaurant waste on a daily basis? Like, I feel like that's much more of a waste than people actually eating the food in the contest.
Right.
And I mean, you have to ask yourself too, you know, like, how much food do I waste? Like, start somewhere. If you have a problem with something, look within yourself first and see if you could have any solutions before pointing out anyone else's problems.
It's weird because that happens a lot where people are saying, you got to change, you son of a bitch. You got to do this. And then you look in their own house, their own kitchen, their own closet, and they ain't got shit all tidy in there either. Yeah, you're a good point, Birdie. Worry about your own shit before you start worrying about
other
people.
What food do you waste? Like, work on that first if you're upset.
And I also think there might be something to be said too that to Beckett's point, a lot of times you don't know the behind the scenes stuff. You are right, Beckett. There is a lot of charity work being done behind the scenes when it comes to these food competitions where they are feeding the homeless. They are feeding people who are that are going hungry, and you don't hear that because it's not the story. But just I want to get your opinion, Vicky. Do you have anything against them?
I never even thought about having anything against them until he brought up that point. So no, I think everything, like Beckett said, it may be a fundraiser, it may be this. I know working at schools, the amount of food that the cafeteria throws away, and what's ironic about it is that they have to a certain degree throw certain things away. because of liability issues. Because if they were to give some of that away and someone got sick or someone tried to claim that they got sick from it, then it's a whole big lawsuit. So there's a lot of waste around. Yeah, there's a lot.
That's something. I mean, because you're right. Even thinking about a cafeteria like that, a school cafeteria, that shouldn't be wasted, right? That should you should be able to package that and give it to a kid and a family if it's being thrown away. I don't think a teacher should get in trouble if they're sneaking off food to somebody who's doesn't have food.
They get sick though, and a parent sues them. That's
it. That's the liability of it. The liability issue is what stops it. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's usually the parent that the kid doesn't even get sick. It's somebody that just wants to, that's sort of sue hungry.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that goes with that age old saying, no good deed goes unpunished sometimes, unfortunately. My former boss, you know, he was training me and I forgot what we were talking about. And he was so right. He goes, Ryan, human psychology is so interesting. You could literally give 100 people $100 each and guaranteed someone's going to complain about it. You're handing out $100 bills. Someone's going to be like, oh, well, you know, why'd they get theirs a day before mine? Oh, how am I going to pay taxes on this? Or his is more, someone's going to complain. And that's just it. When I thought about it, I'm like, man, he's so right.
There's always that one asshole in the group. Oh, we're at Disney World.
Right.
There's always one. You are so right. You could have the best idea. You actually could be interviewing an alien. It's not going to be good enough for some people. You'll never have 100% rotten tomatoes.
That's right.
Let me tell you the competition. I don't know if you consider it a competition, but the thing that has been like really under my skin is you guys and the shots that you are doing.
I have been watching.
Oh, I feel terrible for you. I cannot take it.
Last week, it sent me into the freaking dentist. I had to go to emergency dentist. I had to get my wisdom tooth taken out. And if you guys have never had a wisdom tooth taken out, I don't wish this on whoever invented techno. Seriously, it's the worst kind of pain I've ever dealt with. I've dealt with giving away my kidney. I have had terrible back pain. I've had a baseball hit off my penis and nuts. Nothing compared. The pain of a wisdom tooth. They had to rip it out, Vicky. I'm still not recovered. I'm still wincing like a little bee.
Oh, that's horrible. I actually still have all my wisdom teeth.
I have three of mine. Mine got cracked.
All four are taken out. They were all impacted. And I had to have, and one couldn't come down. So the root grew up. And my oral surgeon had to go in and cut the tooth in half and pull it out in twos, hoping that root didn't break off. And the swelling is delayed. I don't know about you, Jaber. The swelling was delayed. This was when I was a senior in high school and there was a big party down the street. So I snuck out thinking I was good. And I come back and I got a dry socket or something. I had like an infection. Yeah. And I look like the biggest chipmunk.
You know, Beckett used it though for, he somehow hooked up with the hottest girl like... party. Yeah, it's like, I looked like a huge squirrel and the hottest girl hooked up with me. It was terrible. Oh my gosh. do we have any questions from the audience? Anything worthy of the air? If not, we will move on.
I had a question. We could use it for another day. Like, I was just wondering if anyone kept things from when they were a little baby or a kid and they like brought it with them like through life, like an action figure, a pillow, a blanket, you know, just kind of curious, even with us, just between us.
Yeah, no, I still have stuff from when I was a kid. I've always been, when I played baseball, I always had good luck charms. I know deep down a good luck charm's not going to do this or that, but something about having it always made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Placebo effect.
Yeah, the placebo effect is real.
I've had this pillow since I was born. My grandma put a Mario Brothers out there for all you gamers. And it has a little thing like for my wrist. When I walked around, I could carry my pillow with me. And I still sleep with it today sometimes. It's like a comfort blanket. Yeah, like the perfect
height. Honest. How more under or over 20 times you've humped that thing?
No, I've never humped it. Never.
Okay. Just all right. I guess we see what we want to see.
Nice. Someone wanted to know where Denny's gets his information from.
Life, bro.
High Times.
Yeah, the trades.
It tells him. The universe tells him.
Yeah, just anytime I see something interesting with the capability of phones now, I just screenshot it. And then at the end of the week, I just go through and see what I got if I don't have anything else. I got a couple of websites I go to. Sometimes people just drop some random. A lot of people, like, anybody can, if they like, shoot me a DM. People send me all sorts of random stuff all the time. Sometimes I forward it over to Udibird. Sometimes I forward it to Virginia. So just send me stuff.
Yeah, a shout out too for Thumbelina, who we work with. Thumbelina is always sending me great stuff, great articles. In fact, she sent me the article about how so many ghosts are on the rise during this quarantine. I can relate, and it's one of the number one emails I get from people going, "Man, since I've been quarantined, I'm noticing some weird shit around here, man. It's getting weird." All right, that's great. I think we've been going for an hour. I just want to say it's been nice getting back in the swing of things with y'all. I know it's been weird. I know the studio has been a little weird, but hopefully next week we'll get back to normal. It was great seeing all of your lovely faces. And I want to thank everyone for tuning into the Weird and Whatever podcast. You guys are awesome. You guys are the weirdos. And if you ever call into the KDJ show, just make sure, hey, yo, what's up? I'm a weirdo. Let us know on the air. Some people have done that before. It's pretty funny.
I like it.
Thank you guys for listening. We love you all. Make sure you comment below, whatever we talked about on the podcast. We won't do one question today, but give us your opinions. We want to hear from you. It makes us look good too when you guys comment. We love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.